What were people like in Jesus' time? Well, there were some good and there were some bad. In other words, people were about the same. Back in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says that there's no new thing under the sun. And experience teaches us that life is about the same, that people have not really changed that much. And so the things that you see in people today are basically and generally the things that Jesus saw in people in his time. And there was one bad side to the Jews that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 7, and this is where we're going to begin today, Luke chapter 7. We'll start reading at verse 31 and going down through verse 35. The problem? These people were acting like a bunch of children. So let's begin reading here in verse 31 of Luke chapter 7. And the Lord said, "Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children, sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, 'We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, Behold, a gluttonous man, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children.'" Now in verse 31 and 32, Jesus is using some illustrations from his time. And the first illustration is taken from a marketplace where you had a bunch of children gathered together. And one would play a flute, and the others would dance. Now, this was an innocent kind of dancing here. It was a hopping or a skipping or a jumping. It's called a dance, but that's basically what's in mind here. And there's something wrong when kids don't want to play with each other and when they don't want to have fun. Well, the Bible says that was the case here. Jesus said, imagine a situation where you have a bunch of children together, and one of them tries to entertain the others and tries to get the other ones going in the direction of having fun and playing, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. There's something wrong with that picture, isn't there? There's something wrong with a situation like that. But remember, Jesus is not bringing up children here to criticize children. He's bringing this up to illustrate what the grown-ups were like. The grown-ups were acting like children that you couldn't please. Now, the second illustration is taken from another common sight in Jewish culture. When somebody died, there were special mourners that would come to help. And so they would gather with these people that had lost a loved one. Now, that's what Solomon is talking about in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 when he talks about the mourners going through the streets. These mourners would come in, and they would wail and cry, sometimes even sing, and they did that to try to draw out of these people who were bereaved over the loss of a loved one their sorrow. They tried to get them to express their tears and their anguish, and they tried to help to comfort them by so doing. But what we have here is a situation where you have these special mourners who have come in to help. And the Bible says even though they've come for this special purpose, that the people who have lost a loved one, whom you would expect to mourn and to weep, actually do not. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. So you couldn't please these people. If you tried to make them happy, or if you went along with their sadness, they didn't care. Now, folks, I want to bring out a few lessons here that I think we need to learn from what Jesus is talking about. And the most important lesson here, of course, is that there are some people that you cannot please. No matter what you do, they will find something to complain about. No matter what you change, when they do complain, they're going to find something else to criticize. It's in their being, it's in their heart to criticize and to complain and to whine, and they act like spoiled children. Now, that's Jesus' lesson here. In Luke chapter 7, and Jesus said that there were grown-ups who were acting like children in his day. Well, times haven't changed. Apply this today. Consider this. in the way that some people in churches today consider people outside of a church. How often today churches try to draw crowds by pleasing people? Well, what does this passage teach us? This passage teaches us that you might try to please people and build a church. You might try to find out what people are interested in and what they really prefer and what they really like, and then offer it to try to draw big crowds, but it's going to backfire. Because the more that you try to appeal to the carnal desires of people, the more they're going to expect, and you'll never be able to satisfy them. And they're always going to be apt to criticize. Why? Because like children, you've tried to spoil them. So that's the wrong kind of approach, and that's what a lot of churches are doing these days. They're trying to please children who are spoiled and who are not going to be satisfied. And I'm not talking about the young people here so much as I'm talking about the grown-ups. But let's apply it inside of a church. There are always going to be people, I suppose, that you can never satisfy. They continue to go to a congregation. They continue to participate to some extent. But they're always going to have something to criticize or to complain about. And as I said, even if you were to try to change it, even if you try to please them and accommodate them, they're just going to find something else. Because you see, it's not the particular situation that's the problem with them. Their problem is they are critics, they are complainers, they are murmurers, and until they change their heart, you're not going to be able to deal with that kind of situation. Now, of course, the main point here that we need to remember is that we should not try to begin with to please people like that. But we live in a generation where people sometimes feel like that they need to, or that they should. And what Jesus is showing us here in this illustration is that he couldn't please these people, and he was not about to try to please these people, because that was a dead-end street, and it could not be done. But Jesus is making a point here. No matter what he did, the Jews didn't like it. Now, he's talking about these unbelieving Jews that he could not satisfy no matter what he did. He was condemned either way he went. He was condemned if he didn't, and he was condemned if he did. Now let's look at what he talks about here, beginning in verse 33. He says, "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he hath a devil." So Jesus said John the Baptist did not come eating bread or drinking wine. Well, of course he ate. He had to eat. And the wine here that the Bible is talking about is not alcoholic wine. Many times the Bible uses the word wine to refer to the unfermented juice of the grape. And we don't really have time to go into that today. I've looked at that many times on the broadcast. So I'll just refer you back to some of the things that we've already said in that regard. Jesus' point here is simply this, that John the Baptist did not come eating bread nor drinking wine. We know that John the Baptist had to eat in order to live. So he's not saying that John the Baptist never ate. He's simply saying this, John the Baptist did not associate with a lot of people. He did not attend a lot of gatherings. That's what he means here. He kept more to himself in the wilderness. He didn't mix and mingle in the public like others did and even like Jesus did. And so their criticism of John the Baptist was he has a devil. Now you see, you might think that the fact that John the Baptist did not intermingle with, he did not mix like some others did in public with these Jews, you might think that people would be less apt to criticize him. Because, you know, one of the things that people always criticize others about is who they run with and who they associate with. Well, sometimes there's a valid point to that, and sometimes there's not. In John the Baptist's case, John did not mix as much with other people as Jesus did. And you might think that some of the Jews would look at that and say, well, I'll say one thing for him. He does keep to himself, and he minds his own business. But that didn't work. That's not what some of these people said. They ended up saying, why, he's a demon. He has a devil. Now, that was a total lie, folks. And I'll tell you, folks, we resent, as Christians, some of the movies and some of the television shows that insinuate that John the Baptist looked like a hippie and preached like a wild man because He may have been a little bit crazy or a little bit like a demon-possessed man. No, that is not what we read in the Bible. John the Baptist's teaching made perfect sense. He was reasonable. He was logical in his preaching. He was bold about it. But John the Baptist did not, as many people would say today, preach like a wild man in the sense that his teaching and his preaching was illogical and didn't really make any sense. Actually, the real reason that they said this, that John the Baptist had a demon, was because they didn't like what he said. But it was a total lie. It was just made up. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, the Bible says in verse 34, the Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Now, the eating and drinking here that Jesus is talking about is eating and drinking especially with other people. Now, do you remember back in Luke chapter 5, verse 30, that some of the people criticized Jesus because they said he's eating with publicans and sinners? Now, that's what they have in mind here in the criticism that Jesus is talking about. So, you see, John the Baptist did not mix as much with other people, and yet he was criticized. So you would think that those same people would not criticize Jesus because he is mixing with people. But they criticized him anyway. Because if they couldn't find one thing to complain about, they would find something else. And so they called John the Baptist a demon-possessed man, and they made up total lies about Jesus Christ here in verse 34. Just because Jesus ate and drank with other people, they said he's a gluttonous man. That was a lie. That was made up. There's absolutely no truth in what they're saying here. And a wine bibber. Now that word wine bibber refers to a drinker of wine. And obviously in that criticism, they're talking about alcoholic wine. Well, Jesus didn't do that. That is just as false as saying that Jesus is a glutton. There's some people that have gone to the Bible and said, well, you know, the people said here that he's a wine bibber, and so evidently that means that at some point he did do some drinking of alcoholic wine. No, that's not any more true than to say that he was a glutton. Both of these are made up. Both of these are outright lies. And the last part of it, a friend of publicans and sinners, that was something else that they said about Jesus. Now, to be a friend of publicans and sinners here does not simply mean that he associated with them. A friend of publicans and sinners, in the sense that he's talking about it here, means somebody who approved of it. They're saying that he's somebody who condones and goes along with the sins of these people. In James 4, verse 4, you'll remember that the Bible says, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." That doesn't say if you've got a friend that is in the world that you're the enemy of God, but if you are a friend of the world in the sense of being a friend of and approving of its ways, then we are enemies of God. So that's the idea of the word friend here in Luke chapter 7, verse 34. Now again, that's a lie. Jesus called those people to repentance. That's the whole purpose of him being around them. But in regard to all these charges they made against him and John the Baptist, Jesus said in verse 35, "But wisdom is justified of all her children." What does he mean by that? He means that people who are honest will weigh these charges and they will reject them as gossip. So as we close today, let's be reminded of the fact that even Jesus Christ was criticized, even Jesus was lied about. Thank you for tuning in. And have a great rest of the day.